Virgin Radio.
My first guest today is Tracy Wheeler, a certified dog trainer and behaviourist who's worked within the industry for 15 years, training canines of all breeds and ages, both first-hand and online dog training. And it's a delight to have her join us this afternoon. Taylor, very good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You look like and you sound like a film star with a name like Taylor.
Oh, thank you.
Very nice to speak to you today. Yes, our beautiful animals certainly need caring, and you are totally dedicated. The Big Paw program, did you get this started, and what is it actually about?
Yeah. So we started the Big Paw program back in 2014, and just then it was a not-for-profit. I did all the work myself at this time. And we have a support team now of 6 to 8 people that work 5 to 7 days a week. And we support foster carers as well as people who have adopted a rescue dog. And we partner with rescue groups, shelters, vets. So we're there as that support to help people through stressful times, because it is a stressful time to adopt a new dog. We get a lot of people who don't feel like they have that support, and then our dogs don't make it past their 2-week trial. So that's where we step in to try and put a stop to that next step of them going back to the rescue group and try and keep every dog in their home.
So, oh, that's very interesting. So people that are wanting to have a dog more so than ever, of course, in light of what's been going on the last year and a half, having a dog as a companion, that's, yes, you're right. And probably some of them may not have had a pet prior and haven't understood the behavioural issues that they might come across. So you step in, if do they sort of report back to the dog pound or dog home, wherever they've got the pet from, that, oh, I can't control this animal, and then you can offer advice? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's right. So our partners in the industry, if they have a client who's come back with their dog and having troubles, they will pass them on to us and we'll take care of it. It just lightens the load for the rescue groups as well, because they do such a wonderful job. They're so busy trying to rehome all the new dogs. Yeah. So we try to handle the situations where our behaviour comes into it. And most of the time it's just, a small question. People just need to know that it's normal as well. I think a lot of people feel like they're the only ones struggling. Yeah. But once they understand that it's just part of the dog and who they are, and we can give them a set program on how to overcome that quickly, they just feel a lot more relieved. And we have, they've got our direct contact details, so if they need anything, we're just a phone call away.
Yeah. Do you know, I mean, the new owners of the dog that have, with good intention, a home that they want to share with their beautiful animal and that sort of thing, we've all got to remember, if we're in that position, we've got to remember the trauma that poor pet possibly has been through.
Definitely. And in most cases, there has been some sort of trauma. It may not be physical trauma, but just mental trauma as well, or being abandoned, not understanding where their family are. So it does take about 3 months, roughly, for a dog to actually adjust into a new environment, a new home. So it's really important for people to understand that before adopting a dog, as well as during that, 3 month process.
You know, Taylor, when you get to see these beautiful animals, and they are mostly, some do tend to be, a little bit overactive and they might snap at people and that sort of thing, but sadly that's probably because of their past. It says here that, of course, that you sort of read their body language a lot. Is that very accurate?
Yeah, look, it's not always an accurate sign that the dogs give. Sometimes they will give misleading body postures and gestures. But it's something that we can, even if you look at the situation, like you said, where they've come from before, we will understand whether that dog is going to show the appropriate signs and the proper signs within that moment, or if there's some underlying issues that are changing their behaviour and making it hard to read. But being behaviourists, we are able to see, understand the body movements that the dog shows and the postures that they provide at the time. People will send us a video of the dog's behaviour as well, and that gives us a chance to really analyse them in that moment, and then we can really put a program together around that. But, nothing's black or white with dogs. We have to remember they are an animal, so majority of the work would be accurate within a week of working with the owner and that dog to understand who they are.
Yeah, we've got to remind ourselves that, yes, they are what they are. They are animals. They're not children.
Exactly.
I think possibly a lot of people are probably gone a wee bit far sometimes, and they treat them just like a child and expect that sort of same reaction as they would get from a child. And, I was just wondering, sometimes when you decide to adopt a dog, which is just, we've got the RSPCA here, of course, in Perth, and they're everywhere around the world, those sort of people, but you wonder if there was information on the history of their dog and where they're from and what they've been through might not just help the new owner.
Yeah, no, and in some cases we have no idea what the history is. A lot of people will drop a dog off without really wanting
That's
to give
it.
Any information.
Yeah.
They might be ashamed to have abandoned their dog or drop them off at the pound. So we don't always get accurate information either. Sometimes they ideally want that dog to go into a new home. So they might say the dog's great with other dogs and people, and then we find out that's not really the issue. But sometimes our dogs may be well behaved and friendly as they enter the pound, but when they come out the other end, due to stress, that may not be the case either.
Yeah.
It really can damage your dog.
Be very stressful to be locked up the way they are. The other quick thing too, Taylor, whether it's a myth or a fact, unfortunately some particular breeds over the years have been sort of summarised as being more vicious, I suppose, a little bit more aggressive. Do you consider that to be the case, or is it an individual's dog behaviour?
It is an individual dog's personality and behaviour, but we do need to remember, obviously, it's always a touchy subject. There's a lot of conflicting information out there. People don't like to talk about it because, everyone gets slammed in the industry for saying one thing or the other.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, we do need to remember the history of the dogs, and there are a lot of breeds who were bred for certain behaviours.
Sure.
Perhaps a fighting dog back in the day, and that may be, a long way down that bloodline, but unfortunately it can still be more in their nature, and they'll have more heightened instincts around that area of behaviour than a breed who wasn't bred for that. So, I believe that we've got just as many little dogs that we deal with who display aggressive behaviour as we do with big dogs, but unfortunately... The big ones having a bigger jaw and teeth, we just need to knuckle down on them a lot more and their owner more than anything, because a little dog's not going to cause as much damage.
When you have dog owners that, of course, love to show them on Facebook, social media and that sort of thing, which is cute, don't get me wrong, I think it's just lovely and everything like that, but they have sort of probably humanised their pets a little bit, and they say, oh, they know and understand every single word I say. What do you reckon?
Dogs never went to school to learn the alphabet.
No.
So they can understand every word, or sometimes they may not even understand the meaning behind the word, but they'll go off your body language. Hand signals are really important in dog training. Dogs are always, they are listening to the vocals, but they're also looking at your body language, your facial expressions, as well as hand gestures. So they do eventually put together that the word sit means bottom to the ground, and things like that. But I don't believe that they understand everything that people like to think that they do. And it's, like you said, it's wonderful that they're, part of the family, and times have changed, this newer generation do treat the dogs differently than what they used to. But I just think that it's important for trainers to evolve with the times as well. We want dogs to feel loved, but we need to understand how to adjust our training to suit those dogs.
Very
and
true.
Their families.
They probably do want, and I hate the word master, but they don't mind following instruction, I guess, as long as they're not being hurt in any way.
Oh, definitely. And, leader, master, it's all just part of the language. Dogs do, they are natural followers, and they were bred to be a man's best friend.
Yeah.
So they do need that guidance, and you provide their food, their shelter, they are looking for you. To you for guidance. So it's important for everyone to learn how to be a proper trainer to their dog as well.
So when you have an owner who's about to go out for the day or work or something, and they're about to close the door, and the dog sits there looking at the door as you're leaving with its little head on its side, and its little ears are flopped down, and the big eyes are a bit dewy, and you say, I'm sorry, my darling, I'll be back this afternoon, it's okay. You mean they're not listening to that?
I think they are listening to that, but they're definitely listening to your energy. Energy training is a big thing that we focus on. And if you're feeling sad and you're a bit anxious about leaving them for the day, that energy is going to go straight down towards your dog, they are going to pick up on that too. So
and play on it.
Oh, definitely. Oh, and they'll play on it. Yeah, for sure. I think they've got that down pat, the sad eyes. And yeah, but I think people need to, when they leave the home, just make it more of a positive thing that you're leaving. So maybe some treats, like every, for example, my dog, I do a treat hunt when I leave.
Great.
So I play some treats throughout the yard. And he knows that I'm going, but yep. he's got something to keep him busy. By the time he's found all those treats, he's probably a little bit mentally drained and he might have a nap. So that really
That's
does
great.
Help.
Do they have a sense of time?
Yeah, definitely. My dog's body clock is insane.
Really?
Exactly when it's dinner time, you know, wakes up at 6:30 on the dot every morning, don't really need an alarm. So I think that they do to an extent. Like, these animals are so much more evolved than us in yeah. so many other ways.
Instincts.
With, you know, instinctuals. And yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely do have, it's just different. Like, I don't think we would have any idea what time it was if we didn't have a clock.
No, that's true. But I'm just wondering if they know that you've gone for an hour or you've been missing for 4 hours, would they be able to feel that difference, I wonder?
I think they do, yeah. Like, yeah. I think over time, dogs will become frustrated as well if they are left alone, and that's where we get barking and, you know, pacing
yeah.
in the backyard and
yeah.
becoming a bit of a nuisance to neighbours. Usually you'll find within the first 20 minutes they may display that behaviour, then they'll calm down, and then once it's hit that, yeah, 4 to 5 hours, they start up again.
Look, you've been overseas with what you do. Was that with the Pink Paw yeah. program, or is it purely mm-hmm. as a trainer? Behaviourist.
Yep. So the Pink Paw program, so our registered charity is funded and supported by Dog Training Lifestyle, which is our training company. So we offer like online courses and we train correspondents around the globe. So everything that we make out of that business supports our program. So very much intertwined together when we travel. But the Pink Paw program, we actually travel around educating communities. We visited 4 countries just before, unfortunately, traveling was restricted.
Yeah.
And we educate kids at schools on dog safety. That's a really big, important thing for us, is to try and yeah. lower the amount of dog bites that happen around the globe.
Yes, that is another very important thing, because you like people love to work, walk their dogs, and if they've got a tiny dog and they're in the park, they're off the leash if they're allowed to be, and there's a concern of, you know, them not liking each other. What do you suggest in that situation? Slowly get them used to the park if it's their first time down there, keep them on the lead?
Yeah, just don't flood your dog too quickly with, you know, a lot of the time we'll have this beautiful image of how we want our dog to be, but we just need to remember you're dealing with a personality, and it could just be like a child might be shyer than another, doesn't yeah. really want to mix as much. So we just need to make sure everything's slow and steady when we do things. So if you are wanting to take your dog to the park and you're not sure how they react towards other dogs and people, I would recommend just keeping them on a lead. And I never suggest to take a dog off lead unless yeah. you 100% can guarantee they will come back on first recall.
What if there's yeah. an? I'm sorry. What if there's an aggressive behaviour in the park somewhere? A dog sort of starts to look aggressive. Should you try and separate them if they come up to your dog?
Most definitely. If they come up to your dog, I would definitely try and exit that situation as quickly as you can without freaking your dog out as well. Like, a lot of the time, little dogs will become quite anxious of others because the owners might get a little bit too scared too quick, and they pick them yeah. up and run away with them, and that's the last thing they remember is a dog bounding over towards them. That
yeah.
may have only been coming to play, but if you are feeling a little bit uncomfortable, what that's going to do is just make you give off that energy. You're going to show your dog that you're nervous, so they're going yeah. to become nervous too. So in that situation, if there's any aggressive behaviour, you're better off just leaving as quickly and safely as possible.
So they sort of mirror our behaviour then, our body language a bit.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that we always teach our clients who come through our training, is to work on themselves first so that they can, like even myself, I have a trainer's persona. you know, I'm not as confident every day walking into an aggressive dog's yard to try and fix their behaviour, but, mm-hmm. You know, but you need to walk in with a persona and show them that you're confident and comfortable right. so that they pick up on that energy as well. So we recommend for owners to work on that too.
Do they, sounds silly, but I've seen it on social media, do they sit and watch television? I mean, do they see colours and movement and know what the...
We do.
Do they?
You do have a lot of dogs, yeah, who, you know, some dogs don't show any signs of being interested in TV at all, and we have some that are very much, like my sister's dog wants to sit there and watch the horses on the TV. There's a new program out
that right.
involves horses and people, and she absolutely loved it.
Yes.
But then there's other dogs who just don't really pay attention to that. But the colour thing, you know, I think that there's still a lot of conflicting evidence
yeah.
with whether dogs see colour, but my dogs absolutely love pink, so they definitely see the different shades, I think, of those colours, whether it's just a bit of a brighter shade. But, yeah, I think that hasn't been set in black or white yet, whether, you know, dogs can completely
black or white or colour. There's a lot we have to learn. You're far ahead of us. What breed is your dog?
So I have a red cattle dog who I rescued about 4 months ago.
Oh, lovely.
And he's absolutely beautiful.
Have you heard about our red dog story here in WA?
Red dog?
Red dog. The movie was made about
the movie?
Dog. Yes.
I have. Yes.
And,
it's a wonderful story.
And we have Rick Fenn come and join us at the studio from time to time. He travels around as a vet, and he was the one that used to look after Red Dog up in the northwest.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they're beautiful dog, and Red Dog was beautiful. And he showed great intelligence, and he would hitchhike, actually, on truck to go around.
That's right, yeah.
And the theory about it was that he was looking for his previous owner that died and passed away, unfortunately, that he was going from truck to truck and mine site to mine site looking for his owner. So it's a beautiful... people love animal stories, don't they?
They do. I think it's something that really touches all of us, because anyone who has owned a dog or any animal, I think, you know, understands they are like your baby. They're part of the family.
They are, absolutely. They couldn't agree more. And like you said, when we had dogs, I'm much older than you, they were allowed to roam the streets, come home when they were hungry, basically, and you'd unfortunately see poor dogs knocked over on the side of the road because cars would have hit them, and they used to chase cars, and, you know. So thankfully we've grown up a lot about ownership on dogs. In fact, I'm going to, after I've spoken to you, RSPCA here in Perth, they've got a big day on tomorrow at a park. They've got free health checks for people that have got...
wonderful.
For people that can't afford to be looking after their pets at the moment. It's a huge problem everywhere, as you know, people aren't working. So they've got vets and everyone there to really help them through at the moment, and I'll give that information out very soon. Look, it's been lovely to speak. Lovely to speak to you. Yeah, everyone does their best, don't they?
They do. It's lovely.
Good on you, Taylor. Yeah. It's lovely to speak to you. And how can people find out more about the Pink Paw program?
Yeah, wonderful. We'd love it if you headed to pinkpawprogram.org, our website, or you can follow us on social media. If anyone has any questions, we're always happy to answer. And, we just appreciate people following and supporting our mission.
It'll be happening. Thank you very much for your time, Taylor. Keep up the great work.
My pleasure.
Thank you
so much for having me.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.